At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. It takes a lot for Tomlin to get knocked off the marquee on a Tomlin Tuesday. But I've gotten tons of texts, and our YouTube comments and everything else seem to be centered and focused on what happened at the winter meetings. The Pirates, the bridesmaid again, on Kyle Schwarber. Can you guys tell me the name of the ex-Pirate catcher who was comparing the Pirates' pursuit of Kyle Schwarber to a middle school-aged girl missing a half-court shot by 15 feet?
Eric Kratz.
Yes! Did you know that, Mulls?
Absolutely not. That was a very perspicacious
Eric
answer by
Kratz.
Donnie. Because I feel like we've used him before for something. Like he has a podcast.
I was just going to say
Cup
Keith
of
Osick.
Coffee Eric Kratz with the Buccos.
Was he from the year where they had
a shot of espresso?
Was he from the year, I think it was 2011, where they had about 62 different people catch a game for them? The Wyatt Terregas year?
Dusty Brown?
Can I get a Dusty Brown in the chat?
I place him in 2010 or 2011.
Yeah. They had a year there where they had, like, legitimately, I think, 9 different players actually start a game at catcher.
Eric Kratz, quick aside, Eric Kratz was the backup catcher for the Syracuse Chiefs when I was doing games there. The starting catcher was Sal Fasano, who might be your spirit animal, Donnie. Go look that guy up. And you want to talk about Riot. I accidentally knocked over the table that had their post-game spread on it.
Oh, no.
Macaroni salad.
Oh,
those guys probably wanted to kick your ass.
Bergs, dogs. Oh, they did.
And
Kratz was right in the thick of it.
I don't think there is a worse thing you could have done. You might have been able to get away with insulting one of their spouses, and they would have reacted less poorly.
So the Pirates lose out on Schwarber. You might want to put that in air quotes. I'll leave that up to you. I'll leave that up to the listener. 5 for $150. There's some thought that the Pirates offered 4 for $120. So the money per year was the same. The Phillies just upped the offer and went 5 years, and the Pirates either did, and Schwarber took the Phillies' offer because all things being equal, he'd rather play for the Phillies, or they stopped at 4 years. That would be some good reporting if someone can get the information on that. I have a question for everybody out there. Finishing in second place on the best power hitter in free agency, does that do anything for you at 412-928-9370? Because I will take the middle school aged analogy, middle school girl analogy from Kratz a step further. When I was in middle school, I don't know if it's true for you guys, would your gym have all of these slogans, like posters on the wall that had uplifting motivational quotes and stuff like that?
You're talking about like going to like a Michael's or a Hobby Lobby and seeing like those like perseverance means never giving up how hard it gets.
So
no, we would have stuff for like the players on the varsity team, like little posters.
I'm talking
stuff.
About middle school gym or elementary
school
gym.
I went to
gym.
Parochial school. Okay. The whole thing was
Donnie,
the same
did you guys
building.
Do that? It was like our gym was spackled with of these motivational posters.
I feel like we had like some of those around the school, not necessarily in the gym. You mean like it would be like team together, everyone
here,
achieves
yes,
more.
Exactly.
Somebody's got this one that says tradition never graduates from their school.
Stuff
Jeez,
like that.
Did you go to Alabama for middle school,
stuff
man?
Like that. And I'll never forget there was a John Wooden one on our middle school gym wall.
Put your socks on properly or you'll get blisters.
That said something like activity is an achievement. And that's how I take what's gone on so far. They have money, but they haven't spent any of it. And unfortunately for the Pirates, and if anybody wants to say, call in and say, yes, they've actually brought me back to life here. I'm checking to see updates. I thought there was a chance they'd get Schwarber. I actually believe that this is going to be an offseason that I've dreamt about as a Pirates fan. 412-928-9370. Or if you want to call in and agree with us, that's fine too. But they just don't get the benefit of the doubt is the point I'm making here.
No way should they get it. If they were a team that had signed players in the past to legitimate competitive contracts that were in demand by other teams, you'd say sucks they missed out on Kyle Schwarber. But we wouldn't be having this conversation if they were one of those teams.
Even if we found out the Reds finished in second place, I would say, okay, they gave Joey Votto a gigantic deal.
They've
shown a willingness
like
in the
before.
Past. Yes, the Brewers, they gave Braun all that money. They've made big trades and made big signings.
Didn't they give Yelich a ton of money too?
They did, yes, after they made that blockbuster trade. Good job, Malzi.
They've also made a blockbuster trade. And like we talk about the old David Price bit where the Pirates, they almost had David Price way back when. They got CC Sabathia in Milwaukee and did that.
So, I don't know. I just feel like based on the feedback I've gotten from Pittsburgh sports fans today that there's a lot of people with opinions on this. I'm not saying all of them are positive, but people seem to want to sound off on this idea 24 hours ago that, hey, the Pirates actually put an offer in front of him only to find out today, well, what do you know? He's going back to Philly. 412-928-9370. Your thoughts, Malzi?
It's something where hearing that they made, allegedly, this is a very real offer. They put this offer in front of him, and then they finished either runner-up or maybe more than runner-up or whatever.
Do they get credit even for the offer?
Absolutely nothing.
They do not.
No, because you know what? It proved that, one, they weren't willing to go that extra year, which Philly was, because the guy is going to be like 38 when this deal's done, or maybe even close to 39. Okay?
He's going to start the season at age 33, so yeah, you're
right. He'll be close. He'll be nearing 40, and these deals often don't age well, but Philly is saying, yeah, we know that. We're willing to like deal with that. I didn't see if there's like any opt-outs for either side late in the deal. And also, it's just $30 million more, period. The Pirates have to pay a Pirates tax. If you had told me, now if
a Pirates tax.
If I had somehow found out that the Pirates offered 5 years and they decided to pay a 20% or whatever it is, or close to 20% Pirates tax, $155 million, throw $5 million on top of it every year, and he gets an extra $25 million. And I found out that from credible sources, they really made this offer. He had both in front of him. He picked the Phillies.
Yeah.
That would at least be a situation where I would say they deserve some credit for doing what Philly technically wasn't willing to do.
They went above and beyond.
They went above and beyond and really wanted the player.
They
understood
their place in the baseball food chain.
To use a high school analogy, they brought roses to the prettiest girl in class and she picked the quarterback and not them because they're, I don't know, I don't want to offend anybody. They're in the math club.
So like the kid in the Breakfast Club, what was the guy's name? That Anthony Hall?
Anthony Michael. Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony
Lead
Michael
singer
Hall.
Of AC/DC? Yeah.
Donnie, you sent out a pretty pessimistic tweet about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be the offseason that is reminiscent of some of their trade deadlines when they were a team that was in a competitive spot. I mean, even the 2024 season. And we will hear about all of these players connected to Kyle Schwarber, connected to Pete Alonso, I mean, connected to any big-name player you want. I feel like they will come away with none of them.
So no good consolation prizes either. You don't think there's like a guy that's
they have to
tick
prove
or two
that
below?
To me.
So they've started at the highest point. You don't even think they come down a little bit and get one of those maybe B-level?
I mean, I'd be happy with that, but they'd have to prove that to me. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt either.
There have to be guys who sign with this team that are legitimate major league free agents for anybody to give them any benefit of the doubt. And by the way, I shouldn't have made fun of Math Club. It would be 5 years, 175 is the deal I was hypothesizing.
I feel like they'll come away from this signing the same types of players that they usually
sign. Oh, so you think
sign.
It's going to be that bad?
They'll bring back Andrew McCutchen for a fifth reunion tour, and we will just have to hear, well, guys, we were close. We were interested.
Why, until so, like, I don't know. Do you think internally, I guess this is where I would want to take this for a second briefly. Do you think internally they feel like these offers getting leaked? Hey, we really did make this offer. It was there. Rosenthal's not doing our bidding here. And I actually don't think these insiders like the Pirates very much, so I don't think any of them are particularly
like
inclined. Yeah, I don't think they're inclined to help the Pirates when the Pirates don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I wonder if internally Ben Cherington, Bob Nutting, Travis Williams are like, well, if this gets out from credible sources that we really did offer it, we actually put the offer out there. We had to be willing to almost be not afraid that he might actually accept it. Does it help us with our fans? They can't possibly think that people are going to give them the benefit of the doubt for clanking one off the rim. The crowd cheers when somebody shoots a half-court shot when it goes in.
Not when it's close. Not when it rims out, you're saying.
Right, they go, ooh. In this case, Pirates fans aren't even going to give you that.
Yeah, but if it's a kid in a Little League game with very little power and he hits one to the warning track, isn't he going back to the dugout and he's getting like pats on the butt and high fives from his coaches like, hey, that was pretty good. Get him next time? I kind of feel like that happens, and I feel like the Pirates in the baseball ecosystem are kind of the runt of the litter.
They're able to be more of a normal-sized dog in the litter, though. The runt in Little League has no say in whether or not he's the smallest kid in the league.
Maybe you're right.
The Pirates absolutely have more to spend.
We've been sitting here now for almost 15 minutes, and no one has called in yet to disagree with us. And that's usually the first thing people want to do when they hear me open my mouth and say something, or you say something out of pocket, or Donnie says something asinine. The first thing that happens is the phone lines light up and people say, well, hold on a second. You guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. No one's doing that. So is it just universally believed that this is what Donnie said? Names get put out there, offers get talked about, but they don't pull any of it off? I'll give you a guy, this is going to shock you. You know who actually is already giving them some credit for what they're trying to do?
Dayon.
Boris.
Boris?
Yes. Yes. Boris, Scott Boris, the biggest power broker in Major League Baseball.
Has Scott's loved ones performed a wellness check on him?
Scott Boris talked to one of the Pirates beat writers, not Mackey, who's wearing two hats and has dual citizenship these days. Who's got a million jobs. Colin Beasley. Colin Beasley talked to Scott Boris. Aggressive. The Pirates' aggressiveness is, quote, the right step.
Is he Schwarber's agent?
I don't know that.
Here's the thought.
I'm sure I can peruse the story and get you the answer.
If he is really quick, I would say this.
He's not.
Okay.
But Alonso is, Bregman is, Bellinger is, all three of those guys.
I would just say, though, if he had been Kyle Schwarber's agent, or even if he's not and he's just seeing it, I think in Scott Boris's world, a team like the Pirates making an offer that is credibly confirmed to have happened, that's that much money, just makes it more fertile ground for him.
Here's the Boris quote in the PG. Ben and the Pirates have reached out to us on a number of players. They've made us very aware that they're going to be active in the free agent market, and they intend to add free agent talent to the roster. I would say it's the right step, Boris went on to say. I certainly don't want to limit them for future years, but it's good to see a few of the clubs that we don't normally hear from in free agency be active in it.
Okay, but hearing like him, them calling Scott Boris up, and I mean, Scott Boris must, I guess, believe it. I mean, he doesn't have to like give a quote like that. Maybe he's setting the table that if they don't do something, then he'll come back around and clobber them for it, but it still doesn't do anything other than indicate that they are at least making phone calls, that they aren't just sitting on the sidelines. They're trying.
Here's Corey on the fan. Hello, Corey.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say I've been a Pirate fan since 1965.
Congratulations on all your success. That means you were a teenager when you saw them win in 79. That must have been fun.
That was fun, and it was fun in 71, too. But I just want to say that I'm with Malzie on this. If they don't hire somebody, if they don't get a player, I just don't want it. It's all still lip service. It's just the same old thing, and I can tell you this much. Until they start to develop players, they're not going to attract other players.
All right, do you think in about 2 weeks, you're going to have to call into the show and say, I was dead wrong. The Pirates did go out there and make a big free agent slash. Kudos to them. Props to them for actually proving me wrong. Do you believe that?
It could be two months I'll call you and say that. I'll be happy to say that.
But do you actually think that will happen, Corey, in New Kensington?
I do not.
All right.
Like, what happens if they, fresh off of his, you know, boxing match with you yesterday, fake John and Robinson has cited a player here that I've talked about being on their radar. They'll sign, what if they sign like Luis Arraez 2 years, $30 million, which be roughly what he's projected to get per year, and try to tout that as their big signing?
I would say better, but still not good enough.
Well, I would say nowhere close to good enough. He's a singles hitter. He's a good single.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hitter.
Pitch is swung on and hit deep out to left field. Racing back, Pham, warning track, and Schwarber's hit one out of the ballpark. Home run number 20 for Kyle Schwarber. 1-0 Philadelphia here in Pittsburgh.
How can the Pirates, with a straight face, say, we made a 4-year offer for Schwarber? What are you doing? If you want Schwarber, you think you're going to be able to make a market offer and get him? You think
you're going to overpay?
Jim Bowden, Bob Papiani's old roommate at Point Park, former Pirates front office man, now a man in the media, who has an interesting hair do, talking about...
interesting hair color, you would say?
Yeah, the Pirates and Kyle Schwarber and how it was never a realistic thing. Some speculation here off the air during the break that maybe teams are using the Pirates to get a baseline offer.
Don't
to
you
set
think that's
the market.
Why Boris might be praising them? Because he figures some of his candidates or his clients might get the same kind of baseline
interesting
offer.
Interesting conspiracy theory.
I just think it's like sound business from an agent's perspective to encourage a team like the Pirates. You want as many interested suitors and bidders as possible if you're the agent.
Did the pursuit of Schwarber get you excited for the Pirates' free agent possibilities? How many of you out there are actually expecting that the Pirates do some things in free agency that kickstart your fandom, that get you hyped up, that get you fired up for next season, that get you to buy back in? 412-928-9370. We're 0-for-1 with that so far from callers. And that is the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Here is Bill in Latrobe. Hello, Bill. Bill?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, Bill. You're on the radio right now.
I honestly don't believe that the Pirates are going to get any type of significant free agents until either Mark Cuban or someone of his stature buys them from the current owners. I just don't think anybody
so
in
the
major league.
So we need the owner to have a change of heart about his biggest business. We need a guy from Pittsburgh who has owned a basketball team to step in and buy the team. And if those things happen, well, then we'll really be cooking with gas, is what you're telling me. We need that fantasy definitely. That has been discussed here for, what would you say, Chris, 25 years? Are we encroaching on 30 years of having this Mark Cuban delusion where he's looked at as our, like, messiah figure for a certain segment of Pirates fans?
Yeah, he's absolutely been that messianic figure. Like, no Tepper ever in that thing.
No Tull, no Tepper. I honestly feel like from the second our radio station launched, we were being inundated with people saying Cuban needs to buy the Pirates.
Yeah, early on in the station's history, it was two things. I wish Mark Cuban would buy the Pirates, and I wish Pitt would hire Bill Chirpak.
Mike is in Baldwin. Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Hey. Hello.
How's it going?
We're okay.
Hey, pretty much same as everybody. Got to show me how it's going to go before we believe you. But I think Starkey was a little mistaken earlier when he was saying he expects that $100 million that we offered for one guy to then go to four other guys, because that was over the long term of the deal.
Was he saying it almost as a threat? Like, if you're going to say that you actually offered a guy $30 million a year, you better break up that $30 million over two or three other players, or else it was a hollow offer? Was he saying it in that context, in your opinion?
I think sort of, yeah, but that's where I think you're setting yourself up for failure. We know what we're dealing with. You obviously were going to spend some of that money.
So
but
you didn't get sucked in by this at all. When you started to hear the biggest insiders in baseball say, hey, the Pirates are talking to Kyle Schwarber, Mike and Baldwin didn't even get a tiny bit excited?
I do, actually. Yeah, Starkey did get me a little excited because we have the pitching staff to start that, and I think this would be the smartest time to ever spend that money. I agree.
Those are two very different things. Like, saying, having the opinion that they need to strike while the iron is hot when you have a very cheap, affordable Paul Skeens. You're paying him next to nothing. He's the best pitcher in baseball, maybe the greatest pitcher of all time. Now would be a wise time to actually spend on free agent hitters and bolster your team. The thought and the application of it and pulling it off and executing it are two very, very different things. And I have said a few times here, if Travis Williams and Bob Nutting are true to their word on this, where urgency, it's got to happen this offseason. If it doesn't, I'd fire Charrington before the season even starts. All right, buddy, this was your put up or shut up time. This was your nut cutting time. You didn't get it off. We gave you the money. You didn't do it. So you're done. And if they keep him around, it'll tell me that they're really not that disenchanted or disappointed with the job he did, Chris.
I think, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the bottom line for me. Also, though, if he didn't get it done because of still the parameters under which he's working, are you going to look in the mirror and say, I should fire myself?
Well, right now there's the illusion that he does have, like, opened up purse strings and not a blank check, but a much bigger.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think that the Rosenthals of the world are getting these news of these offers from the Pirates, from the agents, from Bob Nutting himself wanting it out there? The last one seems the least likely, but if Bob did want to sort of grease the skids for I'm unhappy with my GM, I would be telling everybody personally.
That's a good question. Noah Hiles is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. I wonder where he thinks this is coming from, because if it's from the Pirates and then they fail to sign any of these guys, you were right. It's going to make them look really bad.
It makes them look even worse because you put yourself out there like you were going to do it. Just the way I said getting Skeens would actually be like a curse more than a blessing if they didn't surround him, because you know how good he is. I do wonder if the owner would talk to any of these people if he had like an inkling that Ben was given more resources, right? But wasn't getting the job done. And he knew as the owner, I'm giving him more than I've ever given him in his whole career. I would almost want to start getting out ahead of it if I found out he kept swinging and missing on players.
Or if he was unwilling to overpay out of some, like, principle.
Yeah,
you can go get this guy if you want. And he's like, he's actually not worth the money, Bob.
Like, could you just hypothetically imagine Bob saying, I know this is an overpay. I know this is going to make us all uncomfortable. I want you to offer 5 years, $175 for Schwarber and make them turn you down. And Charrington, like,
not a good baseball move, Bob.
Bob, come on now. We can reallocate those funds elsewhere.
I mean, if you believe the reporting, he had more money at his disposal last offseason and spend it on analysts.
I'm imagining now a very funny conversation where Bob goes, what, you're going to spend it on 10 more analysts instead of Kyle Schwarber?
Here's Robert on the fan. Hello, Rob.
Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
And there's no way the Pirates are going to pay for a big bat. Actually, they need two or three. There's no way I believe what they're saying. And even if they do spend a little more money, they'll probably get some second-rate guy that has a big name that can't cut it anymore, and they'll increase their payroll and say, look, we tried. Here's our payroll. It's increased so much from last year. But, you know, even if they spend a little more, I'm not so sure they're competent enough to pull off a big-time player that's going to make a difference.
But that sounds to me like more of the same. And they've talked a bigger game than that. They've talked a bigger game than what's the analogy you've made for years, Donnie? This is like they're acting like they're not going to Target and finding the DVD bin that has Insano Man in there for $3. Or, you know.
Man, when I used to work at one big box store.
A Caddyshack 1 and 2 box set for $12.
We used to have True Lies, Commando, and Predator for $8.88. Them were the days.
I mean, you're not finding a better deal in town.
No, that's a that's Russell Martin for 2 years.
Isn't that what you said about them? That's how they shop.
Yeah.
For players.
Yeah, it's like the $5 movie bin.
Yeah.
And you just kind of hope and pray that you got the Godfather in there, but it usually isn't.
But no one's made it sound like that's what they're actually doing this offseason. From the people who cover the game to the Pirates themselves, they're leading us to believe that something bigger is going to happen. But I will, for the second time in 2 days, bring up the Polar Express again.
Again, creepy movie with that uncanny valley kind of animation. Love it.
You know what we're finding here? This is like when the kid gets Santa's bell and his parents can't hear it because they don't believe anymore. Yeah. They're ringing this bell that they're actually going to go for it. And based on just the small sample size of the people who've called into our show, none of them actually want to hear it. None of them are actually like, oh my God, they are like, that sound means, oh my God, that music's playing. That means here comes Eugenio Suarez or Cody Bellinger or who else is out there? Pete Alonso.
I think people would take Luis Arraez as a...
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Harder even at this point.
You have a 42-year-old quarterback. Can a 44-year-old who hasn't played in 5 years come back and play? Phillip Rivers?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Colt was supposed to work him up.
That's none of my business, man.
I'm trying to get ready for the Dolphins.
Well, that happened fast. Our PM team, Chamanism of the Week. Mike has really stopped using one-of-a-kind sayings. They're more repeatable ones that we've heard for close to 20 years. They're stale. They're not fresh.
He's not
much
doing
like
artisanal stuff. He's not doing like those boutique liners. He's just saying, so, here's the slop. You can deal with it if you want.
Instead, the Chamanism of the Week is being used here as an opportunity to talk about Tomlin feigning ignorance, first of all, on Rivers.
I'm glad you brought that up on your own.
As if he has his head buried so deep in the sand, nobody inside the NFL texts him. Omar Khan doesn't come into his office and say, holy bleep, can you believe this? Phil Rivers is coming back to the NFL.
Dadgummit, here comes Philip Rivers.
Oh, honey. Oh. Whoop. Whoop. Oh, ah, baby. Oh,
Lee.
Uh-oh. Shoot.
Oh, my gosh.
Shoot. Dadgummit.
Aggravates the stew out of me.
That's my favorite one.
So that homespun.
That aggravates the stew out of me. Have you heard? I know, like, that's probably gets said a lot at, like, your neighborhood Cracker Barrel. But have you heard anybody ever say, that aggravates the stew out of me?
I have not.
That's the Tomlinism of the week right there.
That Riversism. Aggravates the stew out
that
of me.
That aggravates the stew out of me.
Do you think he's ever sworn in his entire life?
Yeah.
Like, gotten so mad that he actually cussed, and then he probably felt bad about it?
I think he was born again in that regard.
I don't know. I heard about this with him in college that
really?
Would do this too. Yeah.
Well, you don't think like...
He was married and had a kid when he was still at NC State, I believe.
That's no shocker. How many does he have, Don? He's the first grandfather, I think, to play in the NFL.
So Joe said earlier that Brett Favre was a grandfather when he was in his final NFL
I guess maybe
years.
That's possible. I didn't really do any kind of grandfatherly fact-checking.
I think Brett Favre's daughter was like 20 or 21 and had a kid when he was like in
never
his
mind
early
then.
40s, I think.
But yeah, it appears that he's the second. Yeah, Blanda was a stunner since he played for like 50 years in the league.
Too busy playing football to have kids who then had kids.
He has 10 kids, I believe, yeah. Phil Rivers.
You don't think
he might need the money.
You don't think as a fifth grader, he gets outside of the house, there's no supervision, and he's on the playground just dropping F-bombs? You really don't?
I don't know, man. If he was raised, I assume he was raised in a pretty Christian household. I would imagine he was probably told he's going to hell.
My cousin, when I was in second grade, heard me leaving school, because she was 2 years older than me, going through like my favorite swear words. I think I was power ranking them. It was an early pioneer of power rankings.
Sure.
And she reported it right to my aunt, who took it to my mom.
Did you
really didn't care?
Did you try to unleash vengeance on that cousin? Did you go for a retaliatory strike in some way?
I was mad. Like, I thought we were in this together. I thought we were in a cone of trust.
I think I accidentally, because I didn't realize it was really a bad word, said the S word in front of my dad just very casually in like second or third grade, and that did not go over well. F word, I think I heard for the first time, didn't know anything about what it meant on the bus, probably age six
Donnie,
or seven.
Were you an early adopter of curse words? It was like a 8-year-old Donnie.
No, definitely not that young. Probably middle school or right before.
The big moment for me was, and I don't try to make a habit of this because I did for a while and then I realized how kind of dumb it sounds and juvenile. When I decided I was old enough to swear, not really in front of my dad who never swears, but in front of my mom who would be occasionally liable to let one go if she was pretty ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was, I'm now an adult. I can kind of, I can kind of throw one out there if I have to in front of mom.
Here is Jonathan Jones. I think that's his name, right? From CBS
Sports.
Yeah,
he's their insider. He's their Schefter in training.
This is from a few minutes ago, his reporting on what's going to happen with Philip Rivers in Indy.
I will not at all be surprised if Philip Rivers takes every first-team rep this week at practice for the Indianapolis Colts. I will not at all be surprised. At this point, had you asked me this 24 hours ago, I would be surprised. I will not at all be surprised if Philip Rivers starts this upcoming Sunday.
So wild. I am fascinated by this. It is so much more interesting than Brett Rippon or 75% of Riley Leonard playing quarterback. It's a 44-year-old man who's been coaching high school football and hasn't taken a snap in the NFL since the COVID year.
I think he'd be better than either of those guys.
I agree.
Though. I don't even think it's really close. Because I think when you've played as long as he ended up playing, and I would even apply this to Ben, who later in his career absolutely became more of a, I'm going to read the defense and not rely on my athletic ability. Any of those guys that stuck around for an eternity in the league, mm-hmm. even Breeze, if they're close to the game and Rivers is coaching football, right? Or if you're watching enough of it, you don't just like forget like what some of the base defenses are.
Well, did you hear the
J.J.
Watt anecdote about this?
No. What'd he say?
Watt did the game last week. And he was did the Colts game last week, and he was making small talk with Steichen, who said at the time, apropos of nothing, that Rivers was running Steichen's offense in high school, and they would talk on a weekly basis about concepts and plays and everything else.
They speak the same language.
Yeah.
He's going to walk in there and probably have a pretty good handle on that offense, better than I bet a lot of like rookie third stringers have on their own team's offense
this year. If the
Colts
get to 10 wins and play the Steelers in the wild card round and beat them, is that worse than the Tebow or Bortles loss?
Absolutely not. Nothing's worse than the Tebow loss.
He's an actual football player who's not an old man.
He wasn't a quarterback, though. He was a fake quarterback. And also, the Bortles loss is bad, but I always feel compelled to point out that but for a very bad missed call, they were going to beat the Patriots and go to the Super Bowl.
If a guy comes out of the crypt to play off the couch at 44... and beat you in a playoff game, that's the low point to me.
But if Ben did that to somebody else, you'd be saying, look at the old cowboy.
Yes,
and
I would.
And you wouldn't act like...
And he's going to go on his podcast with Spence and say, called me, too.
How many NFL teams is he going to say, over under 3.5, did he field calls from this same week? Who needs a quarterback who's still in the race? I'm trying to think of any other team that's in the Colts' current situation.
Not as bad as them. Like a team that has a winning record that needs a quarterback stat.
Because we're at the point in the season where like any bad team would just
play out the string. Be like if the Dolphins had Tua get hurt last week.
All right, Donnie, here's a good one for you.
Mike McDaniel called me.
Last quarter of the season, final four games. If Rivers gets there and plays, like Jones just said there, and plays the last four games, and Kenny Pickett gets the last four games for the Raiders, who will have better stats?
Can I answer?
I feel like Phil Rivers.
I already know your answer, so I'm asking someone who might be closer to neutral on this.
I feel like Rivers in that offense will.
One guy is at worst a fringe Hall of Famer. The other guy threw a touchdown pass last week, and people are reacting like it somehow vindicates a career that looks like
was a good throw.
I
know it was in garbage time.
I will say this: if you switch their spots.
You think Kenny could go there and cook?
I think who's with the Colts will have the better numbers in that scenario. I mean, he's already starting to appear on the comeback player of the year odds. I think he's third.
He should win it if they make the playoffs.
If he wins three games here down the stretch, he should win it.
He
hasn't played since COVID.
Guys, he's got to go to Seattle against that defense.
Their schedule
and play.
Is absolutely
Good
brutal.
Lord.
They're
Seattle,
also on
Frisco,
Monday Night Football. We get him in a primetime standalone game.
Seattle, Frisco, Jacksonville, Houston. If he goes, I would say even 3-1, but if he were to go 4-0 with good numbers, not only should he win comeback player of the year, he should win it unanimously.
I honestly think we're a little bit delusional because of how well Brady played in his 40s. And also, I think we've seen Flacco this year against the Steelers go off. And so that makes us think that this is more likely or more possible that he plays well.
It's also more fun to consider it actually happening.
But when we saw this guy last, and they were not bad as his final year in Indy, they made the playoffs and lost to the Bills. It looked like at times he was throwing a medicine ball and not a football. I do not think his arm strength is anywhere close to what Flacco's is right now.
Well, he's had time. He's been holding all those babies. His right arm's gotten so much stronger, carrying kids around.
Is it wrong to root for this guy?
No,
as a Steelers
fan? Hilarious.
He's in the same draft class as Ben. He's looked at as a Ben rival. Am I breaking some kind of Steelers fan rule by saying I'm into this?
Already played them. Wait. I mean, it would be different if like they had to play the Steelers and were like, I'm rooting for Phil Rivers.
He's a Hall of Fame semifinalist. This will restart his 5-year clock.
Yep.
What if he went on the run of ages, got all the way and won a Super Bowl at 44?
Oh, he'd get in for sure.
He'd get in, and it would be one of the great stories in sports history. I'm rooting for him. I also actually think you give us the cautionary tale. There's only one Brady, etc. He has never, ever, ever been a player who has been defined by his athletic ability. He's had a good arm with the goofy shot put release. But he has always been slow as molasses. Mm-hmm. He also turned, I didn't realize he turned 44 yesterday, which is kind of interesting. I just think that guys like that who've never had to rely on being faster or quicker or better or whatever can come out of retirement and do stuff like this a little bit more reliably than the alternative.
Vinny Testaverde, I think, is the last guy other than Brady to start numerous games at 44 years old. He did it in Carolina. 2-4 record, 5 touchdowns, 6 picks. I don't think Rivers is going to do better than that.
Steve DeBerg started a game at 44 for Atlanta.
So did Warren Moon, but it was only one.
Would you like to know what Steve DeBerg's numbers were?
Horrible. Six picks.
His numbers that season, I'm assuming in the game he started, 30 of 59, 369, three touchdowns and a pick.
Holy cow, they let him just air it out. That's incredible. Here is Mitch and Cranberry on the Pirates. Hello, Mitch.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We're good.
Hey, just calling in regards to the Pirates, Schwarber.
Yeah.
They had me for about 15 minutes. I got excited. I thought, wow, this would be awesome. And it was based on the premise of the Pirates pitching staff trying to get some RBIs for that team, mm-hmm. Because they need to try and acquire at least 200 ribbies, free agency or whatever. And they had me, like I said, for about 15 minutes. But, you know, the Pirates are who they say they are.
They are who we thought they were, like Dennis Green said. They are who we thought they were.
Yeah, exactly. The Pirates organization front office, they are like the Goodwill shoppers in the free agent market. They'll try to find somebody. Hey, there's a little potential there. What if we, you know, putz around and see if we can get this for it and then try and resell it or something, whatever.
Gotcha. I hear you, Mitch. Well, they've done a lot of that, but we've heard that this is going to be different. And they've missed on two guys so far, Naylor and Schwarber, who they were allegedly in on. Those weren't the only two big-time hitters that are out there. So they've got more time. But I understand, because I share this opinion, where you don't want to completely buy in, be wrong, and then you're like, why the heck did I, why was I sitting around checking my phone and watching MLB Network and hanging on every word and all this stuff only to have them pull the football out from under me again? So
it's just, I think they've accrued or they've built up so much scar tissue with their fans that adding on to it, like with every little story like this, it's just going to take them making a series of unprecedented moves to kind of knock through it.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.